that God is love? Can you show them that he's the lily of the valley? Can you show them that he's a bridge over troubled water? Can you? Do I have anybody that want to show the image of God? I'm the icon. If you touch me, I'm not going to give you me, but I'm going to give you God. I'm going to let the program get the running so that you'll get just what you need. You'll get what you're looking for. You won't, oh, come on and say amen here. We got to see here that the icon is just an image that people can see so that they'll know that something's really there. So that they'll know, come on and say amen, that this thing will work. And so therefore, I say to you that it's working for your good. Oh, yeah, come on, tell somebody, click on me, and you'll see what God has in store. If you just touch me, I'll open up and show you. God said, if you touch me with your tithe, I'll open up the windows and pour you out a blessing. God told the woman with the issue of blood, oh yeah, Jesus was just an icon. He was the image. God was trying to show us that there's something more. And there was a woman with the issue of blood that when she touched him, guess what? It opened up and she received her healing. Jesus said, who touched me? Do I have anybody in here today that realizes that you got to touch the image? I got to touch the image. I got to become the image. And if I can just get to the image, I can get the whole program. This thing will run right for me. And you know what? When I touch it, I got it. And then I can enjoy it. Even though there are some things that I have to go through to download it. Come on and say amen. But I thank God that I can get it. And since I can get it, I'm going to enjoy. Oh, come on and praise his name. See, becoming a Christian, there are some things that you got to go through to download this process. But once it's there, when you got Christianity in your heart, once you got a word in your heart, oh yeah, come on and praise his name. Then you got all that you need. If I can just see the icon, everything behind it is all that I need. I don't have to see how the components work. I don't have to see how the software been made up. But what I do know is that when I touch it, it's going to give me exactly what I need. And so guess what? We are supposed to be iconic people. I'm supposed to be an icon to you. You ought to be able to touch me and I can tell you the truth. You ought to be able to touch me and you can get some healing from me. You ought to be able to touch me and run the devil out of your mind. Oh, come on, praise his name. You ought to be able to touch me and get salvation. You ought to be able to touch me and get an understanding of who God is. Oh, come on, do I have any icons in here? Oh, yeah, you ought to touch somebody and say, show me.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campsie, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
the Lord.
Come on, give our youth another hand. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. I tell you, the Lord has been dealing with our young people, our cherubim choir today. They've all just been on fire for the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for the opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text. Tailor the truth so that each and every hearer may hear what you have to say to us. Then give us power to practice principles that our lives may be transformed and changed. Dear God, would be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And that last verse, verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And it simply reads, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. Don't forget whose you are. Don't forget who's you. If you don't mind helping me preach this today, turn to your neighbor and encourage them if you don't mind. Say, neighbor, don't forget whose you are. Now, if you're a child of God, you ought to give God some kind of praise today. Too many Christians are living careless lives. Lives that do not resemble, lives that do not reflect the God in whom we say we serve. It's important to understand that this reflects failure upon the relationship that we present to the world when we say we are children of the Most High God. And act like children of the devil, who is an enemy to God. When we act as if we belong to him on Sunday, but we have no relationship on Monday, something's wrong with that. This is a message not just for our young people or middle-aged people, but this is a message for all the people of God. Because when this word was written to the church at Corinth, Corinth had a reputation of not being the kind of city that was advantageous for a Christian to be in. It was a dark city filled with sin and activity. It was a city filled with hustling and bustling, getting over and gaming. And yet Christians who were there were expected to hold up the light, to shine brightly in a dark place, and to be an example for all to see. It's important to understand that at the conclusion of this chapter, Paul brings to the forefront of their thinking something when he says, "For ye are bought," reminding them that their salvation was bought at a premium price. So the first thing that I want us to look at today is the price that our souls are bought with. Our salvation is paid for. Because notice what he says, for ye are bought with a price. Ye are bought with a price. If ye are bought with a price, it is first of all a set price. It is not only a set price, but it is a premium price. It is a set premium price that will never be bargained with. In other words, you can't negotiate with this price. It is a high price of holiness. It is a high price that God himself has set on the redemption of man's soul from sin. And so when it talks about ye are bought with a price, what is clear about understanding that price is no amount of wealth held by any individual was enough for them to purchase their own souls with. Jesus makes clear how important your soul is by saying, what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But listen at the next part. Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? And so when we begin to recognize and understand the price of man's soul was so high that all of the wealth of the world could not even pay that price, that God himself fixed as a premium price, that only could that God himself have given to himself could have paid the redemption price for man's soul. In other words, the world didn't have the answer, but God did. And so one of the things that Paul is bringing back to the forefront of the believer's mind is don't forget you were bought at a premium set price. Now listen to this. When something has been given a fixed price and it's a premium price, it means that it is so valuable and rare that the owner don't have to negotiate. If you want it, you're going to come up with the price. And see, there are just some things, and I believe I have some witnesses in the house who will tell you there are just some things that don't go on sale. Any women shoppers who've been waiting till this go on sale and that go on sale. Now, there are just some things that are so valuable, they're not going to negotiate. They're waiting for the right buyer. As a matter of fact, they don't even want to sell it to no anybody. I wish I had a help in the house. And so when you understand you are so valuable to God that this price of redemption is paid only by the only one who could pay it, that means that God values your soul probably far more than you can even comprehend. But I said all of that to say that no matter how you feel about you, you need to take a fresh look at how God feels about you. I don't care what man says about you. You need to see what God says about you. And when you begin to realize when the devil tries to bring you into the doldrums of depression and try to bring you down, make you think you are not all that God says you are, you need to know that the devil is a liar. The same price, listen at this, that it costs for the entire world is the same price it would have cost if just you would have been saved. Did you hear what I just said? If you were the only person who would have accepted Jesus Christ, he still would have had to pay the high premium fixed price for your soul as he had to pay for the entire world. That says You are somebody. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am somebody. Tell them you are somebody. Now let's just be inclusive. We are somebody. And the more, listen to this, the more you realize that you are somebody in the sight of God, you get that in your spirit, you started realizing you can't act no anyway. You can't talk no way anyway, walk no anyway, dress no anyway, live no anyway. You just can't act like you are nobody when you're somebody. When it's in your spirit, it's all in, as the old folks say, your air. Any old folk know about that air? They say, she's got an air about her. He's got an air about her. In other words, what they're really saying is, you're confident. You are somebody, and you know who you are. It don't matter what others say about you. What matters is what God says about you. And my question is, who are you listening to? Who is the one that's speaking in your ear that you are hearing? And I got news for you. If they're talking trash and talking garbage, they ought not be talking to you. You ought not have any room, no place, no space for anybody who's not speaking excellently in your ear. You don't need no sweet nothings in your ear, no talk, trash, mess in your ear. You're worth more than that. If they gonna step to you, step correctly. But what you mean step rightly, Pastor? Be correct. Be worthy. Be the kind that I'd be glad to say, Mama, Daddy, this is mine. More than that, God, this is what you've given to me. Worthy of me. Respectful. That one that will desire and treat you right. See, all of these things today that we follow suit on and fads and following what these people are doing in Hollywood, in stardom, and all these. Listen, a lot of these people, this is their glory right here. This is their life right here. That they're not preparing for the life that is to come. This is all they've got right here. Not so with the believer. And you got to realize that you have been bought with a price. A fixed premium. You ain't no bargain. No, baby, ain't no bargain here. God paid a premium. And listen to this. He fixed it so high because of your valuableness to him that anybody could not pay it. No, anybody could have reached it. Not even the richest people in the world could have gotten together and said, we're going to buy this soul. And so when we realize that price was important, no, you are bought with a price. But look at what he goes on to say. If you bought with a price, then you got to also know that you've got a purpose. What is your purpose? It says right in the word, because you've been bought at such a high price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, you don't think you were bought for nothing. You don't think that God affixed such a premium price to your soul so that you could do what you want to do. Be who you wanted to be. Act how you wanted to act. Go where you wanted to go. and all of the rest of no. He bought you at that price because he had a purpose for you. He had a plan for you. And it began with you glorifying him. Listen, both in your body and in your spirit. Now, this is important for you to comprehend because notice again, God didn't want no anything glorifying him. God wanted only the best to glorify him. So even when you don't think you're the best, all you got to do is check the word and realize that if God attached such a premium price to your life, maybe you don't see yet what he sees. But I've got news for you. He doesn't make a mistake. And if he has bought you at such a premium price, you've got some praise and some glory on the inside of you that God thought worthy enough to attach such a high price to. That's why he wants you to praise him, to give him glory. Listen, if you were bought with a price, it means you are redeemed. And he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Meaning, if God has paid for you that redemption price, then you ought to get your shout on every opportunity you get. Listen, whether you feel like it or not. You're not looking around looking at who's getting that praise on, because if they ain't praising, I ain't going to praise. I won't be the first one to lift my hands. I don't want to be the first one to stand. Why not? When you think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you when none of them were around, isn't he worthy? When he put food on your table, clothes on your back, when he opened doors and made ways for you and brought you back, when you tell me God has been good to you, then that means you ought to have sense enough to open your mouth and give him glory. Stuff going on your life, in your life, around your life. You could not have had a life. And God spared you. And you can't open your mouth. You get here and act all sadiddy and pretty like you ain't never had nothing wrong with you, when the very fact that you can't open your mouth says that you ain't all you ought to be. Because if you had sense enough to know that he put such a high value on your life for the purpose of giving him glory, and you ain't even giving him the glory he paid for, something's wrong with you. Well, you know, that's just not dignified. Was it dignified when God sent his only son, who paid the price with his life? Was it dignified that royalty would come down and save the wicked? But was it dignified when God made your rescue plan before he created you? Was it dignified when he put himself in his reputation online by becoming your father, bearing his name, with all of the stuff you do and have done, and he loved you in spite of you, and all of the stuff they say about you ain't a lie? But he wouldn't turn his back on you. He wouldn't turn you away. He said he would in no wise cast those down who come to him. And yet you get in church and act all dignified because you got a new suit on. You got your hair did, your nails did. You got some new shoes so high you scared to take a step or two because you might break your neck. Well, take them off. Boo. You ought not have on nothing that's too good to give God praise. You ought not be ashamed to have on anything that's more worthy than your praise and glory is to God. You ought not care about what other folk think about you when you were on your way to hell and God sent an interception course to stop the plan of Satan from taking your soul. You ought to give him some praise. Jesus said, if you be ashamed to own me before men, I'd be ashamed to own you before my Father which is in heaven. Ought not ever be ashamed. Jesus, who you talking about? That? Oh, I know that. Anybody talking about Jesus? He's a friend of mine. You ought to join in when you hear the name of Jesus. Even the demons tremble because they know the power of the name of Jesus. They know at the end it's all going to be over because of Jesus. And every time they hear that name, they tremble in fear because of Jesus. And we ain't got sense enough to open our mouths to glorify God in your body, to adorn him with praise, to make his praise glorious, to make it beautiful. Don't you know, listen at this, you might not sing like an angel, but your praise is angelic to God. Your praise costs God so much that it's a joyful noise when he hears you glorifying him. Ought not be ashamed in the church house, in your house, in the White House, in the school house, in the jail house, even in the crack house. You ought not be ashamed to bring glory to the name of God. Price was high, but the purpose was even higher, to glorify God in your body. How? Now, if it's in your body first, conjunction and spirit, then that means that there ought to be a uniformity of God receiving glory. In other words, it can't be half done. It's got to be whole. If I glorify God in my body, that is a visible, viewable demonstration of my outward praise and glory to God. In other words, somebody ought to know when they see me in worship and praise that I love the Lord and I'm not ashamed to show it. We got these undercover praisers. God don't want no undercover praisers. You love him, but you don't want nobody to know. Secret love. Yeah, that's what you are. Wait a minute. I love him because he first loved me, who was unlovable. And if he could love somebody like me, then who am I to not open my mouth and say, I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied my every groan. As long as I live and trouble rise, I'll hasten to him.